Welcome to the Creative South Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Frostholm. Today I talk with designer and educator Jamal Collins, better known as Jay Working. We talk about growing up in East Cleveland, working in-house and feeling isolated and like an outsider, what educating kids in digital arts has done for him, and more, all right after this. I want to thank our friends over at Jack Prince for sponsoring this episode. I had the opportunity to tour their facility up in Cleveland this past August, and it was incredible. Whatever you need printed, they can do it. Do you need stickers? Jack Prince can do it. Do you need t-shirts? Jack Prince can do it. Embroidered hats, business cards, banners? Jack Prince can do it. They make great stuff at a great price. Speaking of banners, Jack Prince has their lowest price on banners ever right now. Some of them are up to 70% off. I just looked up the cost of an 8-foot by 5-foot banner. How much do you think it should cost? $200? More? You can get it from Jack Prince for just $70. And while we're talking about great offers, let's talk about the fact that Jack Prince is offering free silver ink upgrade right now. But it's not just silver ink. If you're looking to get some hats embroidered, you can get free silver thread. You know, add some bling, add some shine, add some silver. So when you get something printed and embroidered now through the end of the year, add that silver into that design. It's free. Why not take advantage of it? Plus, if you love pocket-sized notebooks, check out Jack Prince Pocket Notes. They come with tons of options, making them the perfect gift, giveaway, branding, custom office supply, whatever you need. These custom pocketbooks are designed for quick sketching, note-taking. And unlike other printers who design, you know, you've got to design around their logo. Let's face it, with a lot of other printers. Jack Prince builds their notebooks completely custom from the ground up, giving you the entire cover to customize in your vivid full color. I just like saying vivid. It's a cool word. Jack Prince makes affordable, great stuff for designers like you and I. They focus on quality and customer service and have been loyal Creative South sponsors for years. Why not pick them next time you need stickers, banners, pocket notebooks, or anything else printed? Plus, Jack Prince is giving you a great discount when you use promo code CSPODCAST16. So if you spend $25, you save $5. Spend $50, save $10. $75, $15. Spend $100, save $25. So on and so forth. You know, when you spend $300, you save $75. That's huge. Just use promo code CSPODCAST16 at checkout or visit jack.inc/design.
Are you ready to explore your creativity and meet a ton of new friends while you're doing it? Then head over to creativesouth.com right now and get your Creative South tickets. Join us April 6th through 9th in Columbus, Georgia for Creative South, where you come as friends and leave as family. If you like the podcast and want to help support us, head over to patreon.com/creativesouth. Every dollar helps us cover hosting costs, upgrade equipment, and keep the podcast going. Plus, when you become a Creative South patron, you'll get access to exciting Creative South news before anyone else, Creative South podcast stickers and t-shirts, and you could even get your own podcast episode. So please, help support the podcast by becoming a patron over at patreon.com/creativesouth. Jay, thanks for joining me this morning.
It's a pleasure. Nice to meet you again.
Yeah, nice to meet you again. So let's get into it from the early days. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in East Cleveland. That's on the east side of Cleveland, Ohio, kind of in between the suburbs and the inner city.
Okay. So when you were growing up, were you kind of an arty kid or were you big into sports or mixture?
Yeah, I was a creative kid more than sports. I was always drawing all the time. So I even got some old things from my elementary school that I was drawing on. So coming up with stories and all that good stuff, drawing football characters and you name it. I think the earliest I can remember, I was like about 4 or 5. I used to have this character called Catman. I really wasn't good at drawing the eyes, so my mother drew the eyes for me.
Cute.
Yeah.
Do you put that in your portfolio nowadays as a mixed media piece with an additional illustrator?
I need to. I don't have them anymore. I wish I did.
That would be awesome. I'm sure my parents have my childhood drawings somewhere deep in an attic somewhere. My mom, yes. My mom's known to hoard memory stuff.
Oh, okay.
So when you get in school, like high school and all, are you taking a lot of art classes, or are you just kind of, I don't know, hanging out, doing the normal thing?
Yeah, I was, let's see, when I get into high school, it was around the early 80s. Mm-hmm. And I took art one and art two, but they had a vocational program. Well, they had a couple of them at our school. One was auto mechanics, one was beauty school, and one was commercial arts. Mm-hmm. And what was cool about commercial arts is that back then they were doing airbrushing, stuff like that. So this was kind of around the same time that popular culture, hip hop had just started out. So graffiti was real heavy. Mm-hmm. But your grades had to be up to par. And I wasn't able to get into the commercial arts program. I think it was just, I really didn't push hard enough. I think another issue was no one came from the commercial arts program down to, you know, where I was kind of hanging out at, just doing art one and art two, because I really wanted to be in there. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like a downer for me, because I was seeing some guys coming out with some awesome stuff. They were doing acrylic painting on the back of jean jackets, which was awesome too.
I remember those days.
Yeah.
We're not that far apart in age, so I remember that. Those lovely 80s styles.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can still find at Walmart.
Exactly.
So you're taking that, your grades aren't necessarily up to get in the program. What do you do after high school? Do you go to college, or do you go just straight to work?
I went to college. It was two choices I had to make. It was either go to the service, mm-hmm. or go to college. And I kind of got lucky because I had a friend of mine who had graduated like 2 years before me. He went to Ohio University.
Okay.
And he invited me and another friend of mine down there. And I was like in the 10th grade. Mm-hmm. So when I went down there, it was just like mind-boggling eye-opener, because I'm like, you could set your own classes. Like, it really got me. Like, it gave me a good vantage point of what college was really about, and I fell in love with it. I didn't do any college tours. Like, so it was like a real lot of lack of mentorship and guidance on the academic level when I was in school. I feel like I should have been in the commercial arts program, mm-hmm. and I should have been, you know, visiting colleges in the 10th. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what drives me now to help the youth. But yeah, so I went to OU, and then after that, I was like, Mom, I'm going to college. I started taking my ACTs, uh-huh. getting all my paperwork together. And this was another kind of downside to my school. It was like, when I went to take my SATs, it's a lunchroom full of kids in there taking their SATs. I didn't have no counselors coming talking to me. I don't know if I was just like one of the bad kids, or they were just focusing on kids with good grades. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I go in, there's a room full of kids taking the ACT. So I went to Akron U, and when I went to Akron U, I was a political science major. I wanted to be a lawyer.
That's a strong departure from what you were wanting to do when you were in high school.
Right.
So what made you make that switch to wanting to be a lawyer from really wanting to be in a commercial arts program in high school?
So I was talking to a friend of mine. I really didn't know anything. You know, I think again, like, I didn't talk to any counselors about any options as far as like graphic design. So it was like my first year down there. And I was telling somebody, like, I remember I was telling them, like, I'm going to be a big lawyer. And then when I become a lawyer and get all this money, I'm going to open up an art studio. So
it's one way to do it.
Right. So it's like, why don't you just major in art now? So I was like, that's a good idea. Let me go and check it out. So I went to the art department. You know, I saw painting, I saw sculptures, and I saw something called graphic design. I was like, it sounded real technical. I didn't actually know what it was.
Sure.
But I was like, let me check out graphic design. I looked into it. I started it. And now we talking.
Saving Photoshop files on multiple discs just for one file.
Exactly. I mean, it was This was 92.
Okay.
So it was like Photoshop first kind of came out. We didn't even have internet in the art.
Oh, yeah. Art I was about to say. Yeah. That was still at the time when you hoped to get an AOL disk in the mail so you could do something.
Exactly. they had the internet on the main campus.
Sure.
So if you wanted to do surfing, you could go up there. But in the art department, they didn't have it there. So that's kind of crazy.
Gotcha.
I tell kids all the time, like, everything that you guys are working on, I beta tested it. It wasn't no layers. It wasn't no undos in Photoshop. It wasn't none of this stuff. I was still doing line work with just mock-ups with poster board and tape and the way they used to do it back in the day. So,
oh, yeah. Put the vellum wrap over the as a flap, all that fun stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got real good at that.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I have some old stuff and all the glue turned yellow on it. I'm like, okay, so I don't know what to do with this now. Should I scrap it?
I need to go look through my attic and see if I mean, I know I still have it. I just need to see what it looks like. So you're doing graphic design at Akron University and, you know, early days of Photoshop. So, you know, at least they had added undo when I started it. Still didn't have layers, but you right. had undo one step, which they still only have one step. I still don't understand that. But so you're doing that. You get through school. What do you end up doing, like, first job out of school?
So right out of school, I kind of landed two jobs. I landed a job at this place called EDR Media, and I landed a job at this place called The Plain Dealer, which is the local newspaper. But for The Plain Dealer, I was working temporary, and I was just kind of in the ads department. So I was just doing, like, ads for the automotive section of the paper. So it was just like stock pictures of Toyotas and Hondas, and I'm just placing them in the template. The cool place I was working at was EDR Media. EDR Media was a media place. So this was 97, but I was working freelance with them. And this was kind of around the time of Silicon Valley. So they worked around the clock. They did a lot of trade shows, but they were doing some cutting edge stuff. We were doing 3D Max, which back then was only ran in DOS.
We was
logging into DOS to do 3D Max. I was doing drawings. I was working third shift. So it was awesome. They was doing a lot of interactive CD-ROMs.
Okay.
Too. So I was doing drawings for cartoons. I did something called The Cool Alien, called Akulian. And it was a bunch of artists like me who, you know, we drew some concepts for the Coolian. They picked mines. And this Coolian was like to help kids in school get through tough situations, I guess, and, you know, a CD-ROM, which was cool. I didn't get a copy of it, which sucks. So that never landed in my portfolio.
That does suck. So you're taking your time there. You're building a bunch of interactive stuff in the early days of interactive. What do you do after that?
So after that, so I landed my first real job, and that was at Price Waterhouse.
It's a big firm.
Big firm, big accounting firm. So Price Waterhouse, actually back then it wasn't no Monster.com, no Indeed. I looked through the newspaper and saw the ad and sent a resume into the ad and landed a job with Price Waterhouse Coop. It was Price Waterhouse at the time. Then I think like 2 or 3 years later, they merged with Coopers and Librant. And they formed PricewaterhouseCoopers. Mm-hmm. There I was basically the support for all collateral that came through the accounting firm. So that was marketing, that was working with the accountants, the auditors, the lawyers, human resources, everything. So I was kind of connected with the print. We were doing our own print, too. So I was connected with printing. Yeah, we was doing printing. We had it was so funny about these huge printers. They were down every day. So it was a guy who came from Kodak's and came in there every day to repair these printers. So, I mean, what's cool, I was doing a lot of, I hated the accounting firm. My manager hated me. And it was so weird that I was there for like 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a horrible marriage, like being with somebody for 9 years that hates your guts. So, I was wearing.
Yeah, at least you get paid for that one, though.
Exactly. When we first started out, it wasn't casual, so I was wearing suits every day. I didn't really mind. I was downtown in the big, it was like BP Tower. I was on the 27th floor. So I really had felt like, you know, the fruits of my labor had really, you know, came into part. You know, I spent this time at Akron U, and, you know, I really felt like I finally made it. Uh-huh. But, you know, my creativity was kind of stagnant at the time, because I'm just sitting at a cubicle because at the time it's like HTML is just first starting out. You know, they just released Dreamweaver, Flash. So I'm doing my own websites. I'm doing this Flash stuff. I'm building up my own personal brand at the same time. So,
well, yeah, I don't imagine there's going to be a lot of room for exciting creative work at a accounting agency.
Right. I mean, we had a little freedom, but when we merged with Coopers and Librant, it was like, we got a new logo, we got this new, this new branding collateral. So here it is. We can't go outside of these 9 colors. We have a database for pictures, and I understand the branding, but it was so simple that it kind of like made an easy template. So grandma could come in for PricewaterhouseCoopers and start working as a graphic designer, basically, if she just followed the guidelines.
Sure.
So I was kind of getting micromanaged.
I know that situation well.
Yeah.
So you're getting micromanaged. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. I'm getting micromanaged. It's just like, I don't think I was like, you know, I think I just needed some more like advice on the corporate level. I really didn't have nobody at the firm, you know, come and take me underneath their wing. Like, look, Jamal, you could do this. This is how you interact with people. I think I was just kind of finding my way. I'm better with people now, but at the time, I don't know if I was. I guess I was just frustrated at a certain point, you know.
Sure.
You know, so I'm looking around. It's really no black faces. There's partners, so it's like a little discouraging too. Like, look, I'm kind of stuck at the salary, and I didn't know anything about negotiating my salary. So when I look back, I still
suck at that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
when, that's sorry to interrupt. So when you look what were you going to say?
Nothing. Go ahead.
So this is a reoccurring theme of a lack of mentorship here. And we'll get into that in a minute. So you're at Pricewaterhouse. And you sit for 9 years, right?
Yes. Yes. I was trying to get out of there. I was really interested in web design. I actually got an interview for a web design back when I was, before I even landed this job, back when I was at EDR Media, and I was like, it was just too new back then. So I was scared to take the job. I didn't take the plunge back then, but I was interested in that platform because it was a new media at the time. It wasn't just print. It was like online. I could share this link. You know, I had Flash. I was really digging into Flash, doing action scripts, and like I had music playing on my page. Like, this is what was really driving me at the time.
All the things that would make you cringe now.
Exactly. I mean, I worked hard on this loading bar. So I was like, I have to have a loading bar. Uh-huh. So when you go to my website, it's loading up 20%, 30%.
Nice. So you're doing all that. What makes you finally decide to leave this bad marriage of accounting firm graphic design work?
So I was interviewing. I couldn't get out of there. So this was like 2005, 2006.
Sure.
So I was playing basketball and I had hurt my leg. So my leg was hurting for like, I thought it was going to go away. Uh-huh. My leg was hurting for like 6 months. I was like, something's wrong. So I had an incident before where I was riding a train to work, and piece of the cover on the lights in the train. It's like a rapid. We call it the rapid. It's a train that, you know, commutes to work.
Sure.
A piece of that fell on my shoulder.
Ow.
Yeah, so I had like a shoulder rotator cuff injury. So I had to, you know, short-term disability. I was out for a while. I got a nice little paycheck. You know, I was okay, though. I'm fine now, so.
Sure.
So I had already knew about, you know, taking short-term disability. So I'm like, I'm just going to go out on short-term disability with my knee. And in that time, I'm going to find a job in Atlanta. Because I had a cousin that was living down in Atlanta, but I had just got married. I had a newborn baby, and my wife was in school, too. So I didn't want to just uproot us to just move to Atlanta because, you know, she was still in school. And, I, you know, with the transition, I wanted to make it, I wanted to be
responsible.
I wanted to be responsible. I wanted to be very, very suave in how I got the job. Because I didn't want to quit PricewaterhouseCoopers. I wanted to land a job and then relocate us.
Sure.
So I go out on short-term disability on my knee. And I don't know how long I was out, but in between my therapy, I did get surgery on my knee.
I was about to ask.
Yeah. I did have to get surgery, arthroscopic surgery on my knee. And in between therapy, I'm flying, catching a bus and driving down to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And the thing that what really attracted me to Atlanta was that at that time, I was getting like 3 interviews a week versus... Oh, wow. Yeah, versus what I was getting in Cleveland. I wasn't getting any hits at all. So they were like blowing me up. So I'm like down in Atlanta trying to find jobs and I just didn't land anything. So I ended up having to come back to PricewaterhouseCoopers. This was so funny. Like we end up moving on a different floor. Uh-huh. And this was so one of the worst things about the firm that I dreaded was we had it was like a test that you had to do while you were at the accounting firm. So you had to, it's like hours and hours of all this data that you had to put in on, you know, to make you, this was basing your raises off this matrix that they had.
Sure.
But it was horrible. It was like a book that came with it. So my boss was calling me, like, asking me, was I coming in to do it? I'm like, nope. She was like, aren't you on crutches? I'm like, nah. So I just absolutely just was done with the accounting firm. So I come back, they moved, and shortly after that, they laid me off. They were sending a lot of work over to India too at the same time. So we had like almost a five team. It was like 5 of us doing designs when I first started out in like 98 and down to 2000. When I left 2006, it was just 2.
Oh, wow. 2-1.
Yeah, it was just me and another girl, and then it was just one.
And meanwhile, the firm has merged with another company, grown in size to, isn't it the largest accounting firm now?
Yeah.
And they have 2 people. They go from 5 to 2 people to handle all
right,
of that.
Right, and they sending the rest of the work to. Remember, I told you it was these branding templates made it easy. You could send this to India. They could knock it out for you
for less,
so. So it was cool. I mean, they gave me a severance package. That was nice. I got unemployment. So it was my exit out. I was happy because I was frustrated because I was going to quit. Thankfully, my mother told me not to quit because I was like trying. I was going to just quit because they was like really putting a lot of pressure on me just to make it hard for me.
Sure.
When I was there, I was very frustrated.
Sure. Well, you got a bunch of accountants running a firm, too. So that's When people don't understand what the people in the support roles of the company do, it does make it a lot more tough, especially in large corporations. So
exactly.
So you get laid off from there. What do you end up doing?
I landed a job at Time Warner Cable, which was awesome. I made like $10,000 more.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and I was working for Time Warner Cable. And for them, this was... I worked for like the sales support group, and I worked hand in hand with promotions and I think it was like marketing. She kind of did quantitative work on like the spots on where these salespeople should be selling. So
okay,
So she's running all the analytics to figure out where you're going, and then you're producing the art to support it?
Yes.
Okay. I know that.
So I worked there. So I think this was around... So the economy is tanking at this point. So I wasn't even there 12 months.
Sure.
I think I didn't even know where the bathroom was, and it was kicking me out. This was around the time of the real estate bubble and all of that stuff, too.
Sure.
So they did it. And when I came in, they did a bunch of hiring. They hired a bunch of us, and then they just let us go. Mm-hmm. So I'm back. I land back on unemployment. I'm back frustrated again. I mean, this is like I was already recovering from PricewaterhouseCoopers. I mean, I had felt like I had showed a lot of dedication to a company. I mean, I sat there for 10 years. I mean, if that's not showing some, you know, I'm used to working at one place, getting comfortable. So to be at a new location and not be there for a year was just like a horrible situation for me to deal with.
Yeah. Mentally. I can imagine that that's got to put a hurt on you. So Time Warner doesn't work out. And you got a wife, you got kids to support. What are you doing?
So I found another job. I found another job, and this job was called Print Partners and Management. And what's cool about this place is that they did they were an advertising firm for the cable network. So they kind of saw that I was working with PricewaterhouseCoopers. I think that PricewaterhouseCoopers, that big name, was getting me in the door and showing that I was there for a long time.
Sure.
So that's getting me into the door. My portfolio is boring as heck when I look at it. It's just got these brochures and proposal covers with people shaking hands on it. But that's what this stuff was. So
right. That's the work that you had to put out there. So that's right. What you got to put out there.
Right. So this was an advertisement company for the cable networks, but not just Time Warner. But so when you get the fancy Roadrunner brochures and pamphlets in the mail, cool cutting edge stuff, no branding on this stuff.
Right.
This was the company that was doing that. So they hired me in as a senior designer, which was awesome. Now I'm making $10,000 more than I was making. So I'm really bringing in some money.
Well, at least you're doing well on your getting laid off and moved into new positions.
Right. It was going good. I kind of like scrapped the whole idea of going to Atlanta because this is the money that I was trying to make going to Atlanta. Like, sure. I didn't think that I could make this type of dollar in Ohio. So they hired me in as a senior designer. And I'm the only black guy there. Uh-huh. And I'm a senior designer. I'm over some other designers. And that brought a lot of pressure. And I wasn't even there a year. I didn't even make it to the Christmas party. I kind of started in April. I didn't even see the whole, you know, extent of the money that they offered me. They let me off so fast. And it was like my art director. It's like hating me. Like, I had these women over me. Uh-huh. Three times, and each time they hated me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I'm just not good at working with the company, I think, or working in a certain type of structure. Like,
sure.
Cause I'm taking work home. It's not like I'm just coming in and just trying to work. Like, I'm working on stuff at home. I'm looking for inspiration. Mm-hmm. Because one of the problems was that I was so locked into this branding and this structure. Now I don't have any branding and I don't have any structure, but all my stuff at Time Warner. Okay, I guess I'm making excuses, but you know, that's what I had felt at the time. Like, all my stuff is real structured. It looked corporate-y. That was my style because I was used to being locked into that PricewaterhouseCoopers branding format at the time.
Yeah, so you built up that muscle memory for, you know, very specific style. So stretching yourself outside of that is a little tough.
Exactly.
And you mentioned, you know, you're the only black guy there. How much has that, like, throughout the thing just kind of affected things of feeling isolated? Because there's not a whole lot of, I mean, it sounds like there's not black people in graphic design, but it's, you know, it's definitely a white male dominated industry.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's like, I'm going to say it again, like, I never really felt like I was really connected to somebody on a level where they saw my talents and they really pushed hard for me. It was just like, I'll just sink or swim. And if somebody didn't like me, like, it was an owner of the company. He owned his own company. Uh-huh. He never really, you know, and I felt like me and him had an okay relationship. He never kind of voiced like he had an issue with my work or was up to that caliber. I would have even took a pay cut or took a lesser job, you know, I would have took a demotion if I could just still stay. I don't know. It's just like this underlying business structure where you don't really open up and be real honest with your employees in that culture. Bring me into the office.
I think that's just called business structure.
I know. I'm a hopeless dreamer, man.
I got the same issue.
So, yeah, it's like, sink or swim, you never know what you did wrong, if you did something right. You know, you just kind of go, I just kind of go with my gut and just do whatever I want to. I don't care if anybody like it or not at this point.
Sure.
So, it kind of builds up that tough skin right now. So,
yeah. So, at what point do you start getting interested in mentoring people?
So, I had a huge gap after I left Partners in Management. I had a huge gap in not able to find work. I was out of work for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
After that. So I kind of did unemployment for two. Uh-huh. And I was doing freelancing, but the freelancing work really wasn't like really enough to just say I'm like a successful freelancer and I'm taking this route. I'm getting jobs here and there.
Sure.
You know, one hit jobs and wasn't getting the consistency of work. And at the time, I think my wife had just graduated from college. So she's kind of taking on a lot of the weight that was going on at the house. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the kids and this was the, you sick?
No, I have allergies.
Okay, that's cool. I don't have allergies, so I can't, I sympathize for you.
It's like having a cold, but not feeling like you have a cold. Oh, that's all I can explain it. You're stuffed up, you sneeze all the time, you cough, but you don't feel like you have a cold.
Yeah, I got you.
So
she's taking the weight. I'm finding jobs here and there. I kind of landed a job. I landed another job. I'm not even going to name this company. I was there for, and this guy, he promised me to do web design at the time.
Sure.
And this was 2012, actually. And he hired me. He hired another guy. This was like another small, you know, it was his company. It was like another small company. And I was kind of leery with the small companies.
Sure.
Because, you know, I don't know, you know, how long I'm gonna be there. So I'm working again. He offered me a job. It was kind of not in my area. We were doing web design. So I'm doing mock-ups. I'm like a front end designer. So I'm trying to, I'm stressed the whole time because I'm shell shocked from being in these companies, sitting at this cubicle, and it just brings back old bad memories of me getting laid off. Uh-huh. And this guy lays me off before my 90 days, so I wasn't able to get unemployment. So I'm kind of like back. You know, I'm already trying to recover because I'm behind now.
Sure.
You know, I got student loans, I got kids, my wife is working, you know, we homeschooling the kids, and I'm trying to play catch up because my money is not up to the par that it needs to be to, you know, which one good thing is I own my own house, so I don't have any rent to pay. I'm just paying taxes. So I did, you know, do a smart move on that. So that kind of makes it a little easier to understand, like, well, you know, it's like, wow, this dude been, how was he maintaining for 7 years while I own my own house?
Yeah, you didn't have that mortgage payment.
Right. So I had a mortgage payment to pay. I don't have a car note, so I can have a modest life, you know, have, you know, work part time and be able to still maintain. So, I forgot what I was saying. So my wife is kind of taking on the low. Oh, this guy laid me off. Yeah. How could I forget? This guy lays me off he hired me and another guy. I guess he was deciding on who he was going to choose between me and the other guy. He picks this up over me.
Okay.
Lays me off, smart on his end, so he don't have to pay unemployment. He, you know, he whacked me before my 90 days and I'm back at home. So I'm kind of on the depressed side. I'm like, you know, my mother had retired from RTA. That's a bus, you know, bus mm-hmm. station. She was driving the whole time, making some good money driving. I mean, making a lot of money driving, actually. Mm-hmm. So she was like, you should just get on the bus. I got connections at, you know, RTA. So I started studying for my CDLs because I'm looking for work. Like, I'm ready to throw in the towel with the designing.
Sure.
Like, you know, it's so weird. Like, I worked at the tunnel for 9 years. It seemed like I would have some type of connections or I could make a phone call. And it was just like, once I was out the building, it was over. Like, I couldn't find, you know, I couldn't make no phone call, or I just didn't know how, you know. So
yeah. Yeah. So you get stuck in that decision paralysis area of feeling like you've been let go enough times, so you're shell-shocked. It's scary to put yourself out there.
Right.
Because you're worried that, hey, what's going to happen in 90 days? I'm going to get let go again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I've been there.
I know you have.
Yeah. If you see my resume, it's really long.
It's a tough job. I mean, it's the toughest. To be creative is the toughest job in the world, man. It's like being a paramedic or something. It's like very stressful because it's very, I would say it's very opinionated. Like, I could come up with the beautiful idea that I think, but if you're running the company and you don't like it, that's your opinion. It doesn't mean that it's not crafted good. Sure. You just don't like it.
Yeah.
So I have to come up with something that's pleasing to you and not me. And that's where the toughness come in at. I think they really have to love you. Like, Jason, we love you. Like, uh-huh. That's what I wanted to hear. Like I wanted to hear, like, Jamal, we love you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. And you weren't even getting the, hey, we like you.
Exactly. At all. So.
So you're studying to get your CDU.
CDL.
Yeah. See,
at the same time, I had to cut you off. At the same time, I have a beautiful website I have up. I did the website from hand using Twitter Bootstrap. Oh, I sat and spent hours on coming up with everything I learned from the guy who laid me off. I did learn some stuff. So,
well, that's good.
At that time, the flat design was real hot. Web 2.0. So I came up with all these different templates. It wasn't live, but it was like showing myself as a front end designer because I knew that UX and UI was real heavy at the time. I heard now it's not so hot, but I heard it was real heavy at the time. They're paying like $60,000-$70,000 to do UI, UX work. So I'm really looking towards that. I'm kind of got my eyes towards Columbus. I'm still trying to get out of Ohio a little bit. Columbus is not that far from here. It's like 2 hours.
Sure.
You know, they got a lot of big companies in Columbus too. So I worked on this huge portfolio. I'm redrafting my resume. I got 1,000 resumes. So I'm sending out stuff on LinkedIn. I got my resume going all over the place. I've got phone calls. I'm getting little telephone interviews, and I got an interview at the Browns. I talked to somebody on the phone with the Cavs. Like, I'm getting these little nibbles, and I'm you know, getting interviews but not landing anything. I'm trying to take work that's like work that's beneath me, like for somebody who's just, you know, just anything at print shops. I'm going in interviews. I'm shaving off my beard, looking crazy. So
beardless Jay is not a good look for you.
Yeah, I'm like Samson. You know, my beard has my powers. My look is like my beard is like a fingerprint. We all have, like, you know, we all have our own style, and, you know, our fingerprints make us unique because they're all different. So that's when my beard come into play. It's kind of like saying too. My beard is kind of saying, because I used to shave it off for interviews, and I still didn't land a job. So I'm like, why am I shaving off my beard? Uh-huh. and it's not getting me anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I might as well keep it. You know how that saying is, like, clean cut. It's like they kind of opposed to having facial hair in corporate sector. So
sure.
I think that's just like, you know, my beard is like my middle finger to the corporate sector.
Hey, if I could grow a beard that didn't look patchy as hell, I would.
I'm gonna come up with a support group, man. The patchiness, it just stays. You got to get through it.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, mine's. Yeah. Well, that and getting older, and now like half of it's white. It's like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Adding insult to injury. So you're trying all this stuff just to make ends meet, to get yourself back out there in the workforce. What's happening? I mean, I gotta imagine that's putting a lot of stress on, you know, your personal life and things like that too.
Yes, yes, definitely. So my mother is retired at this point. She's working at the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
So she says it may be an opportunity for you to work at the Boys and Girls Club. So I was like, okay, that's cool. So I went and volunteered, and they had a position for an art instructor, and that was just basically doing drawing, ceramics, and painting with the kids. So the position that I had applied for was for younger kids. So I'm kind of new with this area, so I'm kind of scared to death. Like, I don't want to deal with no teenagers and all of that stuff. I want some younger kids that I can control. I'm kind of at the end of my rope at this point, so I'm willing to take anything. So I'm coming outside my comfort zone and dealing with some kids. So I get the job, and they tell me to go to a different building than I applied for.
Sure.
So I had applied for. It was like a school with younger kids, but they're sending me to another building with teenagers, what I didn't want. So I'm kind of confused. They didn't tell me that I was going to be working with these teens. So I get the job, and I'm working with these teens in a tough area. So what's so crazy is the second day that I worked, a kid from the club stole my car.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen to you recently, too?
No. That's the story you heard about.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the story you heard about. So okay. my second day, the first day I got dropped off. Second day they steal my car. So you know, exactly. So I don't think they would have stolen my car if they knew me, because they all knew at some point they knew me. So it was like, you know, Mr. Collins is cool, and you know. So I couldn't find my car. It took me like a month to find my car. And it's like 6 blocks from my house, which wasn't bad. I had to walk, but it's not the best neighborhood to be walking through.
Sure.
At the same time, it's the summertime. I got to walk past a couple goons at the local store. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, pit bulls running around. It's just like crazy. Like, I'm ready to I didn't have any plan B. I didn't have a car. I have to walk. I got to save up my money. Mm-hmm. I end up buying a little beater from my friend, and it was like $1,000. So I end up getting back on my feet. I did find my car, but when I found my car, the transmission was shot.
Sure.
So I ended up just junking that car. I made a little money off of it. I took that money and put it on this new car that I started driving. So, So yeah, it was not the best situation for the kids, because the way my art room was set up, it was way in the back. It was behind the gym. So this building was an old building. So the setup was kind of bad. The kids really weren't engaged. And I'll tell you a turning point that happened for me, because I was just sitting there kind of trying to come up with curriculums, trying to get the kids engaged. You know, I'm over ratio. Half the time I'm in the gym. Another time half the time I'm in the lunchroom sweeping up honey buns. Like, it sucks. Like, I'm about to pull out my CDL book and start studying for my CDLs again. Like, sure. I go to Weapons of Mass Creation. You know, I was doing that too. You know, I'm kind of networking, trying to, you know, find inspiration and doing that. And I went to the first Ink Wars, and I was blown away by that Ink Wars. This wasn't the one. I can't remember the number. This was had to be, I think, Weapons of Mass Creation 3.
Sure.
I think it was 3. And I was blown away with the Ink Wars. So I come back to my classroom, and I had access to like huge pieces of paper like that too. So I just ignored the kids and I just started working. I think I was just like at this turning point where, cause at the same time, like, I don't think I was cranking out a lot of work. Like now I'm real creative. Mm-hmm. I crank out a lot of work, but back then I really wasn't drawing anything, even though I was teaching it. So I'm drawing huge murals in the room.
Sure.
I got a projector in there. I got the kids like tracing their drawings. So they was really like, you know, like, wow, you can really do this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I can do this stuff. So I'm drawing, I'm cranking out stuff. I grab some huge markers and I'm just knocking stuff out. And also at around that time, I seen consultants that was coming in doing specialized work. And I knew that we had a couple Macs. And this was the cool thing that my art director that's over me now, he's real cool, man. I mean, he knows the value that I bring. And he gives me, you know, the freedom to do. And this is what I always wanted. Like, you know, I knew that I needed somebody that was, you know, in a position to help me, you know, push my dreams and let me be myself.
Sure.
And let the creativity go. So.
So. When, because it sounds like at this point you're just kind of teaching basic art.
Right.
When do you get to the point where this stops being I'm making ends meet. I'm getting to do some creative stuff. Let me do more. Let me mentor these kids. Cause it seems like, you know, from the 5 minutes I got to talk to you at WMC and from following you on social media and stuff, that you're constantly in these kids' lives,
right?
Mentoring them, showing them how to do things. You know, teaching them literal career skills and not that there's anything wrong with just teaching art, because I think that's very valuable and you need to do that. But you're teaching them design, and these kids are not, you know, a lot of these aren't high school kids. They're elementary school age kids.
Right. I'm going to go back a little bit.
Sure.
Like, you know, in between that time, those rough times in my life. Like even after when I had got laid off and didn't get the unemployment in 2012, mm-hmm. it was tough for me to hold on to my sanity. So I was doing a lot of reading. I was doing a lot of writing. I was heavy into psycho-cybernetics. And
I don't even know what that is.
Psycho-cybernetics is like it's how you think about things. It's like a huge audio book. You have to look it up. It's very interesting on how your mind works towards your attitude towards different things. So mm-hmm. It's all kind of psychological. Like let's take, for instance, someone who would like to, that really thinks they need the plastic surgery when they really don't. So it's kind of like psychologically, you think that you're fat, you need this, or something's wrong with your nose. So it's the way that you look at your life and look at different situations, and it kind of analyzes what you're going through. Huh. So I had notes on, you know, objectives. I had notes on goals, and I was just taking notes on the psycho-cybernetic stuff. So I was finding a lot of inspirational. I was kind of heavy into I'm still into that.
Sure.
So a lot of what you see me doing is a lot of my personal brand. It's a lot of motivational, inspiring the kids to think different ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm always, you know, working on stuff like that. Like I'm really interested in the brain and you know, how we attain information and things like that. So I'm getting them to think on that level. But I will speed back up.
Yeah.
I saw some consultants that were coming in. They were doing specialized work. You know, I presented the idea because I seen some IMAX. I'm like, look, really, my thing is graphic design. I would love to teach them the graphic end because mm-hmm. that's what really my passion, you know, that's where my passion is really at. That's my foundation is this graphics because I've been doing it for so long.
Sure.
So they gave me the opportunity. I was just doing it at one location. and I was kind of busting some kids down. So I had moved from, my art director just called me out the blue, like, I'm just gonna, you know, get you to resign, come back in as a consultant, and we're gonna have you do some other, you know, hit some other locations. We're gonna get these IMAX, some more IMAX, the Creative Cloud. So I put in my resignation. I come back as a consultant. The corporate office flips out.
Why are we paying him more to do what he was already doing?
It was like, whoa, what's going on? So right after that, they came out with a clause saying that you have to work there. So they start making up rules. Because I had other people's like, wait, I want to be a consultant.
Sorry, we got this rule in place now.
Yeah, exactly.
Now they start blaming on you. You can thank Jamal. So that's an interesting shift. So you quit your job to get hired back at your job as a consultant.
Right, exactly. So now I'm hitting different locations. I think another turning point for me is I started videotaping my classes, because I was like, when I first started recording myself, I'm like, I sound weird. I look funny. Like, I never, because it was a lot of stuff, even doing face painting, uh-huh. You know, talking to a big group. Like, I was a little nervous, even though you would think like I've been working in the corporate sector this whole time. Like, I would be comfortable talking in front of people. So a lot of the stuff that came with working with the Boys and Girls Club really was like back to back of having me outside of my comfort zone.
Sure.
Like dealing with kids, talking to parents, being on camera. So I got a camera in my class. So I'm kind of heavy into Gary Valvachek is my man, Gary V.
Yeah.
So I love all the stuff he does. So I'm like taking notes on, you know, just keeping up with the industry. Like I'm a techie head anyway. So, you know, I'm into torrents and iPhones and new, you know, I guess I think that's just how we are as graphic designers. We have to be on top of the technology. So
yeah, we're all nerds at heart.
Exactly. So I'm a big nerd. So I'm videotaping my classes, and I don't know if you saw, but I videotaped a real bad part of East Cleveland, and the video went viral, and that's kind of,
yes, that's how I first heard about you. I saw a bunch of people sharing that one.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of like, because I had planned on doing some speed art too. So I monetized my channel. I want to do some speed art. So I'm just doing a lot of stuff that I saw that I wanted to do. And I was just like, because that's kind of outside my comfort zone too. Like, I don't know if I should be showing what I.
Sure.
I was working on my craft the whole time, because I knew, like, being out of work and not working with a company, like, how can I still be valuable being out of work this long? Because I had read an article that said, like, people are kind of leery of hiring people that's had big, huge gaps in their work.
Sure.
So I want to, you know, keep my sword sharpened and continue to, you know, raise my value of my knowledge with the web stuff, with the, you know, knowing a little code, being able to get in and out of, you know, the Creative Cloud, uh-huh. Knowing all the new stuff. Because I know a lot of guys that's kind of old school designers that I came up with and still doing same old stuff that really didn't add any value to themselves. So
sure.
I'm like self-teaching myself stuff. So I'm like tutorials. Like, I work around the clock. Like, I'm learning how to edit video. I'm in Final Cut Pro. I'm listening to marketing, starting your own business. So I'm just like, this is what I do. Like, I don't watch TV really much. So it drives my wife crazy, because that's all I do is kind of, she think it's all work, but I'm at art shows. So me going out a lot too, kind of, you know, got people worried me too, because I never went out. I really didn't do no networking. So now when I go out, people know me, but like, I go to art shows all the time. I'm at different events. So this was just like a lot of the work that was missing.
Sure.
That I'm doing now. So.
So you're building all that stuff up. You get hired on as a consultant. And you're posting all of these videos of what you're doing in the classroom. I mean, what has this done for you personally?
I really get a lot out of giving back to the kids. Mm-hmm. So it has me looking at what I'm doing as far as the value that I'm adding, and not really looking at the money. Like when I was talking about getting on the bus, I was kind of just doing that for financial reasons. I really get happiness in giving back to the kids because I know what I was missing when I was young.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Well, and you talked about that in the beginning of you never kind of had that mentorship growing up, and you wish that you had had it.
Right. Exactly.
So, you've built up this thing. You're working on yourself personally. You started outreaching to more and more kids. And like I said, from what I've seen, most of the kids that you're reaching out to are not in high school yet, kind of like you wanted.
Right. Right. Right.
But I mean, kids grow up. Are you following these kids, kind of through as they grow up and keeping up with them?
Yeah. I let them know that, like, I'm not just teaching you this and then you can just go on with your life. Like, I'm always with you guys. So I got like a lot of them on the different platforms. I have some on Google Plus. I have some that have a couple portfolio pieces on Behance. So they always follow on me. And, so I want to keep the channel always open for them to, be able to contact me, give me a call, just to reach out to me, to let them know that, this is a process. It's going to take a long time and I'm always here. I'm going to graduations. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to their moms, fathers, grandparents. So some that I lose contact with, I bump into them all the time because I'm still in the community. So sure. I still see some of them. Because that first building that I was going to, they no longer had that location. So I kind of lost a lot of the kids. But that was before I had this presence online. So,
And I want to get back and ask you something else. But there's one kid in particular that you highlighted. I don't remember if it was right before or right after.
Camden.
I think so. I think that's what.
Camden. Camden. He's been real loyal. Like he's really been sticking into the department. Sticking in with me because I've been doing this for 2 years. So this is going. It's kind of going on the third year. This was the second summer.
Sure.
He's been there from the beginning. So a couple of them have been there from the beginning. Me and him. He did a van rap for the club that was nice. He did an article on Go Media. He's kind of working in the production company. They have a full-blown studio. So he's in there writing music and he's a real talented kid. I asked him to do video for me. He does it. He's editing a video. So he's really like my Luke Skywalker. So he's like, but he's lacking too. So if he hear this, I want him to know he need to do more. So
needs to push himself more.
It's a tough situation because you got to think again. This is after school, so sure. They're not getting graded. They're not forced to come in there, and it's more of a lounge leisure type of location place.
Sure.
So it's a in some locations I'm at, it's a PlayStation, Xbox right next to my computers. So it's like kind of
you got to be motivated to turn that down. Yeah,
exactly. Because I got a lot of kids that only work when I'm not there. So for me to see somebody doing some work when I'm not there really shows me a lot. Or I have one kid named Tristan that he doesn't come to the program at all anymore, but he's still showing work on his Facebook page. So these little accomplishments really that's really what I like to see, these little small things. Like I can complain about stuff till the cows come home. it's really about the little small base hits, little small accomplishments that I like. So
you said you're kind of just starting the third year of this. Where do you see it going in the future? Where do you hope to take it?
I just hope to just open up the platform more, more online, maybe Google Hangouts. So when kids move or go to another location, we can still, do this virtually, like a virtual website. Maybe they can go online and share stuff. Just keep sharing and building these kids up until they produce something that's impressive, because I let them know that it's somebody working when you guys aren't working on the next big thing, the next Snapchat. And I let them know on all the possibilities that they have right now that they're not using to their advantage, because they're so bombarded with just play and distracting stuff, music, movies. And, you know, I let them know, like, at this point, if you wait till you graduate from college, that's 10 years from now, possibly.
Sure.
So you can make an earning right now. You can monetize right now. You can have social responsibility right now. You can really knock something out the park. Like, you can just email the top guy at Nike right now and say, look, I just designed these shoes. Can I come in and talk to you? We sure. can do that. We can do that almost like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
So to be able to, people are so accessible to just, you could just tweet somebody, inbox, and say, I know you, the head person at, you know, I don't know, Samsung, and I got some app ideas. I want to run past you. I'm 7. Who wouldn't want to bring somebody in? Yeah. I think a big thing is the parents too. I mean, it's like a lot of awareness that the parents don't have, because I don't know if it's just this informational gap where people aren't really familiar with the internet. They don't have computers at home. So it's a big gap in technology too. So.
Well, so that was another question that I had, that is, you know, working with the parents to make them understand, or not make them understand, but to help them understand how to be supportive and how to, you know, foster those skills. And I don't mean graphic design skills, because I'm going to assume most of the parents are not graphic designers, but
right.
those life skills that you need to keep motivated and keep pushing up. How much of that do you get to do?
I'm trying to use my platform mostly on Facebook to do that.
Okay.
I got some YouTube, like, I pushed a YouTube channel too. I got some YouTube rants. They don't really go, I don't really get a lot of views on them. Just, you know, my perspective on, you know, what you should be doing with your kid. Like, you shouldn't be investing in tennis shoes. And I tell the kids too, because I know parents get what the kids want. So sure. I'm telling them, stop asking for tennis shoes. Stop yeah. asking for clothes. Ask for computers. Ask for cameras. This is what you should be asking for.
Yeah.
I let them know, like, I can go on your YouTube channel and see what you're looking at the most. All you're looking at is the latest dances, music videos. You should be looking up tutorials. When I'm not around, when I come back, you should be saying, Mr. Collins, look at what I've done. Look at what I found out. Did you know you could do this? Mr. Collins, you're doing this wrong. So, and I challenge them that too. And I show them the speed art. Like, I'm doing speed art. Here's a recording software. You should be doing speed art. I haven't seen anything in weeks. I haven't seen anything in months. Like, I've taught kids that maybe they're not interested, but I've gave some kids some tangibles to hold on to that they can come in and produce something. Like, you got a YouTube channel that you're on there. Once you, okay, you're not into graphic design. You're into playing basketball. Why don't I see any basketball videos? All you guys have smartphones on you. I mean, all you guys have smartphones in your pocket.
Yeah.
You should be recording what's going on. You should be showing me how to shoot. You should be showing me how to dribble. Here's some tips on, you know, I just tell them, like, you guys should be having better grades, because this, I let them know, like, everything has a science to it. You're not just going to wake up and have good grades.
Yeah.
It's techniques in studying. You could look up the, we didn't have these opportunities. I follow this one guy. He's in college. This guy is brilliant. He has like a bunch of subscribers on YouTube. He has different techniques on taking notes, reading. I can apply this stuff to, you know, how to organize, how to different platforms, on how to use your Gmail efficiently. I'm using this stuff for what this guy is teaching. So, I mean, it's just a scratching the surface on how much stuff is out there to push these kids ahead.
Right. So it sounds like, you know, while the structure you're teaching is graphic design, you're more focusing on how to build up those life skills, how to be self-sufficient, how to be a better you.
Exactly. Because, you know, I let them, I even tell them how to finesse. Like, you got to learn how to, because I know I've been there. I flunked the second grade. I barely made it out of high school. I sat in college and didn't get the grades that I felt like I got. I sat in an accounting firm and I ain't had nobody helping me out. I'm letting them know, like, I've been to college. I've been into an accounting firm. I know how to act, you know, a certain way to present myself. I know how to articulate myself. So I'm bringing all of this knowledge back down to them. Like, this is why we read. We read about Elon Musk because we don't know him personally. So the only way we can get any insight from the things that he's done wrong, the things that he's done right, we read about him. So to have somebody that's been through college and been through all these different experiences as a minority, I'm bringing that to them. So I'm letting them know, like, look, you need to learn how to be SWAT. You need to learn how to what was I going to say? I'm sorry. I kind of lost my train of thought. I was telling them a lot on how to be suave in their class and be nice to their teachers and persuade their teachers to give them good grades. It's a, you know, because I know it's tough. Like, you might be taking a class that you don't like. A teacher might not like you.
Sure.
But you have to navigate through that situation and put up a good front so you can get past that class, because this math class is in the way of you working at Nike.
Yeah.
So.
Also, don't just charm your teachers. Actually do the work to get the good grades.
Yeah, I'll use that one.
You got to do the work, but if you're doing the work and you got a teacher who's biased against you, then turn on the charm.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've met a few people like that who did not do the work, but they were really charming and got some really good grades.
Exactly.
And they all turned out to be salespeople. So we're kind of getting close to our time. You know, and we touched on it briefly, but what else would you like to, you know, what else would you like to be doing? How else would you like to be pushing yourself?
Just more. Like I would like to go and talk to different areas, just expand myself more and really talk to teachers, talk to parents, talk to kids, and, you know, share my knowledge and share my experience, and hope that inspires and motivates people to, you know, I would like for kids to say, if it, you know, the stuff that Mr. Collins taught me or showed me really changed my life. You know, I might not see it in my lifetime, but I hope that, you know, I can pass, you know, some of this stuff down. And, you know, I've been getting a lot of good responses, so I know I'm in the right area. So, you know, I'm really humbled to be, you know, in this position as a leader, as a innovator, as a designer, as a teacher. So
awesome. And that, now you've started building up the platform, you need to go to your bosses at Boys and Girls Club and tell them, this is why I need to start getting out of state, is to go take this to other Boys and Girls Clubs around the country.
Exactly. So. I'm kind of working on some daytime programming at the schools. Oh, cool. So, yeah, just me as a, you know, kind of building up my company. I'm kind of working on some employees, just building, you know, just I need some, you know, build up so I can expand and reach more people. Because right now I'm just, you know, just a consultant. So.
Sure. Awesome. Well, so where can people find out more about you online?
Okay, so they can go to my Facebook page, Jamal Collins, and they can go to my YouTube channel. I'm really trying to build up that YouTube channel. They can search me on YouTube on Jay Working.
Uh-huh.
Instagram, Jay Working. Twitter, Jay Working. So that's kind of like my alias. Yeah. So that's my alias. I'm working on a website. For me to be doing all that coding and stuff, I feel bad. I'll probably pull up a website. I'll put up a website soon. I've been kind of going back and forth between if I'm going to use WordPress or Squarespace. So I'm going
to
have a web presence. I feel bad that I don't have one now that we're talking. So
we'll see. By the time this goes live, you'll have time to put up a website and we can point people there.
I got some good news too.
Yes.
I'm going to be speaking at the Creative South.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to Mike and Lenny. They gave me the heads up last night. I mean, 2 nights ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'm going to be on the big stage.
Yay.
Doing my thing.
I'm excited about that. Lenny and I pushed you hard after.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did. So.
Oh, you know about all of this.
Yep.
You know about all of this.
Yep.
Okay,
I'm in the inner circle. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Cool. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you at Creative South on the stage. And thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
I appreciate you, too.
You can find out more about Jamal on Twitter and Instagram at JWorking, and be sure to check out the links in the show notes for more ways to keep up with him. You can keep up with the podcast on Twitter and our new Facebook page at Creative SO Pod, and follow Creative South on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Creative South GA or over at CreativeSouth.com. And I'm at Jay Frostholm on Dribbble, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thanks again to our friends and sponsors, Jack Prince. Head over to jackprince.com and use promo code CSPodcast16 to get an incredible discount. Or visit them at jack.inc/design.
For a limited time, new Skillshare customers can get their first 3 months for just 99 cents to get unlimited access to thousands of classes when you sign up at Skillshare.com using promo code CreativeSouth. What are you waiting for? Start learning today. Don't forget to head over to CreativeSouthGA.com right now to pick up your tickets for Creative South in April of 2017. We're looking forward to seeing you there and hugging some necks. And remember, if you like the show, help support us over at patreon.com/creativesouth. And if you like the Creative South podcast, head over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music. Rate us and leave a review. This helps more people find the podcast and allows us to keep getting awesome guests. Now go out and hug some necks.